Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And I'm boldly chuckling, listening to the news and everything that's going on in the world. I guess if I couldn't chuckle, if I couldn't laugh about it, I'd have to cry. I don't know. Do I really need to say anything about what's going on? There is so much being said, and there's a lot of good things being said, and there's a lot of evil things being said. And here's the problem. All the people that believe the evil, well, they won't hear the good because the evil people that they're listening to won't allow the good, the true, to come out. And, where to begin? Good morning to everyone in the chat room. Corporate Fireman Mike, hey, good to see you here. You're one of the few people that actually call me. And give me a sound check in the chat room. Let me know how good the sound is today. Say video good, audio good, whatever you're listening to. We're also simulcasting on Facebook and DLive, okay, as well as YouTube. And everything's working today. That's what happens when my producer does his homework. That means me take a little extra time to get it working right this week. So we'll see if we pick up any listeners. I'm not sure we will. We're not popular out there in the world. Thank you for that, Fire Mike. That's right. The only good is the biblical. All good things come from God. That's what the scripture says. So even the good that evil men have in their life, the most evil men, as well as us that are lesser evil, I guess. Because Jesus said that, yeah, we called us all evil. I hate to tell you that. That's not politically correct in the churches today, but he called us all evil. But that's why we need him. That's why we need his blood to cover our sins. And the most important thing today, when you see what's going on in the world, it's what do we do? How do we live out the kingdom of God? And how do we bring more people in or reach out to those that would enter into the kingdom of God, you know, those that are called and chosen. And you know, we have to make sure our election, on top of all that. Oh, hold on. Okay. Let's see if this thing actually works. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Hey, Fireman Mike, the only one that calls me and actually talks. Thank you for this. I got a sound check on the phone. Sometimes I wonder, is there something wrong with my phone? But go ahead. What can I do for you, Mike?
You hear me okay? You're breaking up a little bit.
You sound great.
Okay. I can make out what you're saying. It's just a little choppy. I'm calling because I looked at your program last week after the fact. And, I saw you had some of the things you were showing on the screen behind you. It looked like you had that text picture that I sent you.
Oh, which one is that?
Remember a few weeks ago I sent you a text? And when I talked to you, you said you couldn't get it for some reason.
Oh, what is it? What did it say?
It was kind of cropped top and bottom on the screen behind you, but it shows American infantry storming Normandy Beach in 1944.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that one off of Facebook or something. Yeah.
Okay, so you came across it someplace else.
Yeah, I did.
I just thought it was kind of neat that you had it up, but that was what I sent you.
Oh, cool.
If you can show the folks the whole thing, they may get a kick out of it too, because it was cropped top and bottom. You could see the full caption.
Yeah, you sent that to me on, how did you send that to me?
Oh, about 3 weeks ago, I think.
In an email? In an email?
No, I sent it by text from my cell phone.
Oh, okay, yeah. They had problems getting things on.
I use the 559.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah, I was having a problem with my phone. I'm now getting pictures on it again.
Okay.
So whatever the problem was, it fixed itself. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it got through to you, and I hope you enjoyed it. A buddy of mine showed it to me at work, and I got a kick out of it. I thought it was very fitting.
All right. Well, what do you have to say about what's going on in the world today?
Because it was cropped.
Yeah. You have anything to say about the news? What's going on out there? I know. It's overwhelming, man.
It is. After that Electoral College debacle.
Yeah.
I mean, the Republican Party is basically destroying itself.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Thanks for the call, Mike, and the sound check. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up again, but I'll let you get back to the show, and perhaps I'll call later in the show.
Okay.
Okay, God bless, Nicholas.
Bye. Okay, well, back to the show. I never left. But yeah, we have a lot of, they're calling turncoat Republicans. You know, and I had this idea several weeks ago that these two parties, and we were warned by the early founding fathers of America warned us against parties. And because now they've narrowed it down to two prominent parties, and the Antichrist pretty much controls most of them, and those that the Antichrist doesn't control on the more conservative side are being lambasted and what do you call it? They're being canceled, yeah, and they may just cancel them all. While the lunatics on the other opposite extreme side are just a stark raving mad. It's something to behold. I'll tell you, it's just something to behold. And now we have a new administration coming into the government of the United States of America over there, and it's one that I guess I'm probably going to be banned from YouTube here sometime in the near future. So I might as well say it. Didn't I get voted for? The election was stolen, and it came out of his own mouth. I think it was a lucid moment for Joe Biden, President unelect Joe Biden, President not elected Joe Biden, that when he said that they built the greatest voter fraud organization in history. Yeah, I think that's true. We've seen how that works. It was the greatest. I mean, I have to applaud them for that. He was so right. They did build the greatest voter fraud organization in the history of mankind. So great that they got away with it pretty much until this year, and then they got away with it anyway. But who's worried about it? You know, this is the governments of men, and we were warned about that. And that's why I stopped voting many, many years ago, because I thought, well, this is insanity. You know, the saying goes that when you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, it's called insanity, okay? And that's why I quit voting a long time ago. And it just become obvious this year, so obvious that the elections are rigged, dare I say. Yeah. So what should we do about it? And what should good, patriotic, and Christian Americans do? I think we should do nothing right now. Nobody should go protest anywhere. I think that they've shown their colors, that anything they do, if a few people instigated, they were invited into the Congress building, whatever that place was, and then someone was shot, and then from there, things went downhill. There were a couple actors in there, one that defecated on Nancy Pelosi's desk and stole her laptop or something, you know, the the QAnon psyop guy. Yeah, that guy. The QAnon tards. I guess if you could call them something. Those people are simply out of their minds. And I don't even believe they believe what Q supposedly stands for. You know, the overthrow of the pedophiles and the government and all that stuff. The Q is supposedly all those things that sound really good, but never happened and never came to fruition and likely never will. And you know, John Kennedy being alive, I wish it were true. It could even be true. I don't know. Yeah. But obviously, at least up to this point, I guess Donald Trump has 7 days left to prove Q to be true, but it's unlikely that's going to happen. At least from where I sit. I wish, but then maybe I don't wish. Because, you know, every time I see Donald Trump, he says a lot of nice things, a lot of things I agree with, but then he starts talking about how great he is by bringing forth the vaccine. It's the miracle of the century, and they said they couldn't be done, so we warp-speeded it. I don't want no damn vaccine. Excuse my French. I don't care about a vaccine. I am not pumping poison and who knows what developed from dead babies and stuff into my veins. I don't need a vaccine. My immune system works fine. I don't want to destroy my immune system. You know, it's like you buy a new car and it's got a great paint job. You don't want to ruin your great paint job, so here, put this crummy paint job on it. You know? No, I've got a great immune system, even as an old man that I am, the old man that I am, I have a great immune system. I don't think I've ever had the flu in my life. From what I've discovered and all this stuff and reading is that the common cold is a coronavirus. Yeah, it is a COVID virus. It is. And, you know, thinking about this, it's kind of logical that the flu is just a cold virus, the common cold, out of control because someone has no immunity. And so I don't want to compromise my immune system. I think it might keep me alive another, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know. I'm an old man. I could live it to my hundreds, but I would rather rely on my own immune system. And I'm not afraid to die, you know? If I die at 80, 90, or 100, it doesn't matter to me. My treasure is not in this mortal life that we're living now that ends in the grave anyway. You know, it's a matter of when, that's all. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when we end up in the grave. No, what's important to me is that I'm walking in God's kingdom so that when I do come to the end of my mortality, that I will be in his kingdom forever, and I will go to the resurrection of the dead by the blood of Jesus. Now, that's the important thing. But what do we do now? God called me 20 years ago, 25. Oh, gosh, yeah, it has been a long time. In the early 90s, to walk away from the socialist system because it became obvious to me that the social contract for a social security number to have become a card-carrying socialist, the contract that you have to agree to. You don't necessarily have to sign it, but by your acquiescence, because someone signed you up when you were a child, and when you became a grown-up, you know, when I was a child, I act as a child, but when I became a man, you know, things changed. I had to act like a man. I had to look into these things. And I found out that that contract for socialism is inimical to the Word of God, to the law of God. And someone last week in the chat room, who was it? I think WW was in the chat room, said, you know what, you need to write, your next book needs to be on Jesus and socialism or something like that. But we're marching straight into socialism. We're already there, actually. 95% of the people have signed up for socialism, even though in their heart, they're not socialists. In their hearts, they don't agree to the contract that they either grew up in or signed up for, because they were lied to. They were told one thing and it was something else. But the socialist security contract, well, they promise you security. You know, oh, what happens if you get old and you get sick? You'll die. I mean, it's like the whole year of fear that they've been pumping up and selling to the world. It's the year of fear. Yeah, that's it. The year of fear. It's day 307 of the panic, the 2020 panic. That's what I'm going to call it. The 2020 panic, day 307. We're going into 2021 on day 307 here. Okay. And I see people wearing masks because they're afraid they're going to die. I'm not afraid to die. I don't care if I catch a virus. Whatever. You know, most people don't understand viruses are a mystery. Viruses are not living organisms. I've looked into it enough to know something's not right about this, that they're using the ignorance that people have, an ignorance that they have, because I'm not even sure that they understand viruses. Obviously. They've been trying to cure the common cold, you know, ever since before I was born. And nobody's come up with a cure yet. Now, they want you to take a shot in the arm for a virus that changes and keeps mutating, because it's always new. Why? Because it's us. We are the culprits. It's our body that creates the virus. And now they tell you, well, we got a vaccine that's going to help your body create the virus. Only the virus after the image that we want it. It's going to change your right instructions into your body and tell it what to do. Yeah. So anyway, if you're scared, go ahead, wear a mask, take the virus. If you're not afraid, then live the life that God created you to live. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, I think first we'll go to Luke, because, you know, we got to get it from the Master. And what did the Master say? Well, he actually spoke on socialism. And although they didn't use the word socialism, they certainly didn't have the word Marxism or communism then. But if you describe something, you know, and if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, well, by golly, it is a duck. All right. And anyway, so here it is, Luke 22:25. And this was right after they were arguing, you know, the boys were arguing. They're saying, well, who's going to be great? Who's going to be the greatest when Jesus sets up his kingdom? No, I'm going to be on his right hand, and whatever, you know, the disciples of Christ. We won't call them apostles yet. They were still in discipleship training school at this time, okay? So we'll cut them a little slack, okay? So there was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Yeah. Just talk about, you know, the flesh. Dude, I'm going to be greater than you. Well, I gotta fix that picture of me on, my producer. Yeah, he has a lot on his plate. Anyway, so verse 25, Jesus answers them and he says, the kings of the Gentiles, you know, like Trump and Stalin and Pol Pot and, all those people, you know, Macron, just name them. You know, what's his name over there? The new guy, I can't remember all these names and who they go to, but the kings of the Gentiles, these godless, unregenerate men out there that take it upon themselves to rule the world. Okay. They exercise lordship over them. The kings of the nations, Gentiles means nations. Look it up for yourself in the Greek. Gentiles means nations. Okay, so we'll just substitute it here. The kings of the nations exercise lordship over them. Do they not? Are they not exercising lordship over you? Yeah, shut all your businesses down now. You know, gotta close them up. And only essential, and we're going to tell you who's essential and who's not. We're exercising lordship over you. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Okay? Boy, there's a lot in that sentence to unpack. Don't you think so? The kings of the nations exercise lordship over them, the people of those nations. And they that exercise authority upon them, okay, it's not they that serve them by their leadership position. No, Jesus didn't say that. I think Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. He said, they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Why are they called benefactors? He didn't say they are benefactors, because they are not. He didn't say they that exercise authority upon them are benefactors. No, but they're called benefactors. Well, what is a benefactor? Well, I am a benefactor. You know, I've got an adult, retarded son, 40-something years old, and I am his benefactor. By my labor, my time, my property, okay, I serve him, okay? And also I have authority over him. You know, he has boundaries on his life, which I have to create for his own safety, okay? So I am his benefactor. I provide him with food, clothing, housing, bathing, you know, all of his needs I provide because I am his benefactor. I'm not called a benefactor. I am his benefactor. And so we'll talk about, and we have other scriptural, supporting scriptural references for this thesis here. And this is more than a thesis. This is explicitly stated in the scripture. So we'll continue talking about this when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, we're back. Sorry, I was busy doing producer stuff. Okay, yeah, we are back. Oh, let's see. Jesuit Fiend in the chat room says, viruses are not alive, but are cleaning solvents manufactured by the body to detoxify it. Viruses are beneficial, and without them, we'd all be dead. No one can catch a virus. He goes on, this is a lie perpetrated by the Jesuit criminal science cabal in order to deceive and vaccinate the whole world with their synthetic mRNA DNA corrupting implant vaccine. And I would have to agree with that, except, well, there is one thing that I believe that we don't catch a virus, but viruses are also messengers, okay, that can be transmitted to someone close to you. They can catch your virus, which is just like a communication system between our biological organisms to tell us whatever. I guess I don't really know. There's still a lot of mystery there, but basically our bodies create the virus, and the more toxic, the more polluted your body is, the more you will suffer from the cleansing that is going on. So if you suffer greatly during so-called cold season, then you should look at detoxifying your diet and cleaning up your body. Yeah, you know, very important. I found out the importance of having a healthy gut, for instance. And you can look at, just type in gut health, and you'll get an education on probably the most important part of maintaining your health is in your gut, because that's where it all begins. And it all has to do with what goes in your mouth. Yeah, very important. Anyway, we're going to get back to our topic, and that is, we were talking about what Jesus said when he outed socialism. And he told us not to participate in that. So here it is. Okay, Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles, nations, exercise lordship over them, the people of the nations. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. And the reason that they're called benefactors, as I explained to you, is because they are not benefactors. They are only called benefactors because they take the wealth of the people and redistribute it. Now, if they were benefactors, they would take their own wealth and they would redistribute it. And I was thinking about this when the thought came into my mind, is probably, I have to admit this now, that Donald Trump has probably been, of all of the presidents we had, one of the closest to being a benefactor, in that he refused to receive the presidential salary. Okay? So he's at least giving his time and years of his life. So he is giving something. Where's all the other presidents? They're getting paid to steal from your neighbor and give to you, and all the other congressmen and all those people. They're not your benefactors. None of them are benefactors. They're called benefactors. They redistribute wealth. And that's what makes a socialist nation. And so Jesus says about this type of government, he says, but ye shall not be so. And Jesus is talking about what? A different kingdom. The kingdom of God, where he is the king. Not the kings of the Gentiles, not the little Caesars out there calling themselves presidents and dictators and prime ministers or whatever they're calling themselves these days. Not those kings, but Jesus is the king of his kingdom. Okay? He hasn't come to the earth physically to set it up yet, but his kingdom is real. And he is the king of everyone. His kingdom is supranational. It goes over all the boundaries of all the kingdoms of the earth. It extends into every kingdom on earth, even the kingdoms of those that hate him. His kingdom is there because his people are there. His elect are there. So the kingdom of God, see, that's just, this is one manifestation of the kingdom of God that we have today. Another manifestation is coming of the kingdom of God for a specific demonstration for 1,000 years, coming very soon to a neighborhood near you, no matter where you're at. Okay. Because Jesus is coming back. And you can check out my posting on my website at crosstheborder.org. What year is it? It's at the very top. You'll see a link there. And you can find out about the time that Jesus is coming back. I'm not sure I'll be here then, you know, because I'd have to live well into my hundreds. Yeah, to be here on that in that year. But it's a possibility. So I'm working very hard to keep my health so that I can work in his kingdom until he comes or until he calls me home, whether I'm martyred or I die an old man in my sleep or with all my children, grandchildren, and at that time, then I'll have great and great-great-grandchildren, I'm sure, if I live another 40 years. Yeah. Okay. 35 to 40 years. Yeah, give it that. Okay, it says, but you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether he is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is it not he that sitteth at meat? But Jesus said, listen, he said, but I am among you as he that serveth. And that's why I got to give President Trump his kudos there for not taking the presidential salary. Because I believe in his heart, he's there to serve. Although he is ignorant of most of the things I've said in this broadcast about socialism and, you know, those that are called benefactors. He doesn't understand any of that. Yeah, he doesn't. If he is a Christian, if he is part of the elect, he is a baby Christian. And so I really don't, so I don't expect any more of him than we're getting from him. And neither can I condemn him for all of his failings any more than I can condemn myself for my past failings. But yes, I'll pray for him. I still think that God could continue to use him. And hopefully he will. Hopefully he will continue to look to God and become closer. And that's my prayer. I'm praying it right out loud. And I hope that you'll agree with me, that you don't hate him like all of the left and like many on the right, you know, many of the never Trumpers and people like, Rick Wiles hates him because he's doing the thing over there as a presidential Mideast thing, and his son-in-law is Jared Kushner, a Jew, and he thinks he's a Zionist and all that stuff. So there are people that hate him, and they're going to continue to hate him, even lie about them in their broadcasts. But, and everywhere they go, they turn and they lie. But I'm not going to do that. He's no perfect man. But my prayers are with him, and I hope that God can use him and draw him closer to him, and that he could see, use even more truth through this humbling period of his life, you know, unless something else happens. But I don't see the something else happening. And either way, we may be better off with the way things are going, because God's people and all of those people that love freedom are going to have to stand up now. But I hope they don't do anything stupid. There is a call out to the patriot, Christian, conservative, Trump-supporting community out there to stand down and not do anything, to have no rallies or anything or protests during this month, and especially for the Biden inauguration, to just let it go. What we need to do is we need to withdraw, regroup, and come up with a plan, okay? And a plan that is not going to cost us any more of our rights in America, a plan that's going to move us in the right direction. And I agree with those calm, wise voices out there that are saying these things. And some of those people I never considered wise. but they're saying these things, so I have to agree with them on that. We need to, you know, withdraw from the battle. We need to take a look and see what can we do, you know. for all those people that are working on the vote and they don't want it, go into your state and work on the election thing there at the ground level and make sure that you know that you, the next election is fair, and then maybe in 2 years of Joe Biden, the president that nobody wanted and that nobody's going to honor or obey except those idiots that love him because he cheated his way into office and they blindly close their eyes to the evil that's been going on, you know, let them act the idiots that we are, as you can plainly see in the news. But us, as God's people, as Christians, as conservatives, and supporters of the truth, we need to regroup, and we need to work hard to promote God's kingdom and liberty in this land. Yeah, okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now I'm going to continue with this where we picked up here. So Jesus said, I am among you as one that serveth. That's what we need to do. We don't need to redistribute other people's wealth. That's what we're looking for in government too. Now, my other scripture verse is Proverbs. Yeah. Love the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 opens up with the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. Do you want wisdom and instruction? Do you want to know wisdom? Then read the Proverbs. I tell everyone that. You know, because when I was a young man 45 years ago, yeah, reading this book for the first time in my life, and I'm not sure I read Proverbs right away, but somewhere in the first 5 years, I started reading the Proverbs, and I read that to know wisdom, and I thought, you know, for an ignorant young man, I had a good thought there. And I believe that good thought came from the Holy Ghost himself. As God planted that thought, and I thought, I want to be wise. Yeah, so could you say that with me, young people? You know, I want to be wise. Yeah. So I thought, I'm going to read this book because I want to be wise. And I have to tell you, back then, when I started reading the book, I thought, these words don't make any sense at all. Because it was so foreign to, you know, the young man that was reading it for the first time at 19 or 20 years old. Yeah, it was foreign to me. A foreign way of thinking. But a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to hear. I'm going to try. I'm going to read these words and I'm going to hear what they're saying. And maybe I'll increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, the only reason they're dark is because, you know, you don't see much of this out in the open. You know, there's not much wisdom out there. There's a little bit. You know, I can listen to the news. There are a few wise voices out there. And when you hear them, you know them, you know, because they're speaking the truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay. Now, in this case, you know, the son was Solomon and the father was David and the mother was Bathsheba. Okay. So, you have to listen to the one that's following the Lord. If your earthly parents aren't following the Lord, then you have to follow the Lord yourself and read the Word of God and go get it for yourself. Or follow someone who's following God. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm paraphrasing there pretty well. Okay, but we're going to get into it. He's going to get into what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus wasn't making up something new. I'll bet you Jesus read these words. As a matter of fact, he knew them because he had the Spirit of truth in them that conveyed these words to Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, okay? So Jesus knew all these principles. That's why he was able to explicitly tell us about socialism before the word was even invented. You know, there might have been a commensurate word back there for it. I don't know, in the Greek. But anyway, so he says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now pay attention. This is the important stuff. We're getting to the socialism. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And see, now what if someone consented for you when you were a child? Because in America, that's how it happened. Your parents signed you up for socialism. They consented for you. But when you were a child, you acted like a child. And your parents were your benefactors. So they set the boundaries for you, and they set up rules for your life, and they entered you into agreements that you couldn't do for yourself. But now when you become a man, when you become mature, you're supposed to look at all these things for yourself. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What's the enticement? How do sinners entice? Well, they're going to give you something that you want. Pleasure, power, money, free stuff. You know, what is an enticement? Can I entice you to do good? Yeah, I could entice you to do good. You know, all these things that bring pleasure in this life, they all end at the grave. So I am enticing you to follow Christ and keep your eye on the prize so that you can obtain eternal life and you can live forever by the blood of Jesus, that you can enter into the resurrection of life when your mortality, when your death, when that which is inevitable comes. See, I would entice you to follow Christ and to forsake everything else. But if sinners entice thee, he says, consent thou not. Do not give your consent. And if you have given your consent, withdraw your consent. He says, oh, well, too late. No, we're called to repent. That's what repent means. It means you consented in the past, but now repentance requires that you withdraw your consent. So let's listen carefully. If they say, who is they? The Gentiles, the people of the nations, those that are called benefactors, sinners, evil people, yeah, the world. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. You know, those are pretty strong words, and people go, oh, I would never lurk privily for blood, lay wait for blood. You know, but we're talking about what does blood represent? The life is in the blood. So you're lurking, you're laying wait for the life of other people. And you're doing it privately. You don't have to do it. Just sign on the dotted line. And the benefactors, those that are called benefactors, will redistribute the life of your neighbor. And you'll get your booty. Okay? Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. See, here's the key to understanding this. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. That's called covetousness. That's coveting your neighbor's goods. And you get to do it privately. You don't have to go out and do it. You've got people that will do it for you. Okay? Yeah, you got a whole cabal there. All you do is sign on the dotted line. Sign up for socialist security. And we'll take care of it for you. But they lied to you. Okay? They said, oh, you know, you wanted to do something good. You wanted to work for a living, to provide for your family housing and the comforts of life and food. You wanted to provide for your family. And so, oh, well, in order to do that, you have to get a number. So most people innocently said, oh, okay. But whenever you sign something, you're giving up your rights. Otherwise, why would you have to sign? Every time you sign a document, you are giving up your rights. You're giving up rights. Unless you say all rights reserved. But you know what? If you try to go down and get a driver's license, and I know I'm giving up rights because I'm saying I'm going to give up my rights to everything that's in your rules that violates my rights. But I'm going to give it up by privately contracting you. And see, there's the privily. Let us lurk privily. It's a private contract. That's what privilege is. Okay? Let us lurk privilegedly, okay? Think of it, privately. Privilege is a private contract. So I have to give up my rights. So if I write on the driver's license application, all rights reserved, and then sign my name, they'll reject it. They will only give you a driver's license if you give up your rights. Yeah. Think about that. So anytime you sign your name to anything, you're giving up your rights. If you sign a check, you're giving up your rights to that money that's in your bank account. You see what I mean? Yeah, you're giving up something. Anyway, it continues. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Now, does that describe socialism or not? Because when you sign up, you're saying, okay, I'll fill out a 1040 Inquisition form every year, and I'm going to give you, you get to take your share, and I get what's left over, but you get to take your share for the one purse that we're going to have for the redistribution of wealth by the benefactors who lord it over you. Isn't this the same thing? Isn't this what Jesus was talking about? It's not a new thing. Jesus is, wow, man, this Roman socialism is bad stuff. You know? And so he was warned, no, this is a principle that goes back even long before that. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. And here's the repent part. Refrain thy foot from their path. So, consent thou not. Withdraw your consent. That's what repentance requires. Refrain your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. And they do make haste to shed blood. What do you think they do with how many people they murder with that money from their socialist system that they get from those people that, you know, have signed up for their Inquisition, because they have, if you sign up, you're required, you consent to an Inquisition. And that's what the whole market, and now compare that, you know, compare what I'm talking about to chapter 13 of the Revelation. And we're talking about the Mark of the Beast system. And this is what the Mark of the Beast system is all about. It is communism. It is socialism. It is a redistribution of wealth. And now they don't even have real money anymore. They want total ownership of the money, which they have. You can still own property, but they want to do away with that too. And so welcome to the dystopia. That's what it is. The panic year that led to the worldwide dystopia, and especially here in America. Is dystopic a word? Dystopic a word? Yeah. It's very dystopic to walk around and see people everywhere you go like automatons with burkas on their mouths, you know, like they've joined a new religious cult or something. It's heartbreaking to see in the nation that I've lived in for here going on near 70 years to see this and go, it's come to this. And I'm not surprised either. It just doesn't surprise me. We've been talking about this. So I'm going, okay, bring it on. The days are here. And these are the times of the end. So what's going to happen? That's what we've been talking about. Prophecy, reality. This is what we're walking into if we live. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We're going for another hour. We'd like to see you in the chat room. We'll be back.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager, Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. We're going into our second hour here, and we were discussing socialism, communism, fascism, all of these things kind of rolled into one, denominate what we're going into as far as what the Bible tells us in chapter 13 about the mark of the beast requiring everyone, all rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in order to buy or sell in the world today. That's what we're working toward. And what does this mean? What kind of government is this? And if you need a mark to buy or sell, we're talking about socialism, fascism, redistribution of wealth. It's really diabolical today how it's been done. I could have never guessed, but we look to the scripture and we find that this type of socialist, Marxist government is preached against. Jesus preached against it himself. He says those that call themselves benefactors, because they redistribute the wealth of others. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, and it's the first lesson we get in wisdom, is to not have a government that redistributes wealth. Listen to this. My son, if sinners consent thee, entice thee, consent thou not. You know? We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. He says, don't cast in your lot with them. If they say, cast in your lot with us, let us all have one purse. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Okay? They lay in wait for their own blood. He says, for they lurk privately for their own lives. Okay? Let us swallow. If they say, okay. And I saw a verse here. Anyway, that's chapter 1 of the Proverbs, if you're wondering where that comes from. And so that's definitely anti-socialism. But what have they done? Now how do they do it? I mean, you can withdraw. A lot of people are saying, well, we have to stop paying taxes and all this. It won't make any difference, because they don't need your money anymore. You know, I've discussed this many times. They don't need our money anymore. They're just creating money out of thin air. They're stealing from us, and we don't even have to participate. If you got $100 in your wallet. They're going to go out and print another $1 trillion this year, or $2 trillion, or $3 trillion, or whatever you're going to print. And that's going to diminish the money that you do have, you know, unless you have some substance. But anything denominated in their money is going to lose its value. Anything in substance is going to increase in value. So like if you have real money, like gold or silver or some other substance, some way of maintaining your wealth that's outside of their monetary system or their and now digital monetary system, because even the paper notes you have no substance except the paper. And well, I think they're going to want to get rid of those by 2020. But I think that, God will have them in derision. And we'll just wait for the derision to come. We're not called to create the derision. I think they'll create the derision for themselves. I mean, they have their cohorts out there in the world. They're fascist or Antifa, BLM, and all of their fascist dictators in the world that that can create enough chaos that God's people don't need to do it. And we'll see. We'll see what happens, where this is going to lead. I mean, I hope and I pray for peace in the world, but I also know that judgment is a reality. And we've been having plenty of judgment here in the land, on the land where I live, they call it California, but still it's God's green earth. But the one that they call California, that they believe they have dominion over, God has allowed it to burn up with fires and other things. And right now it seems like we're in another drought. Yeah, it's already 1/13, and of the seed I planted last month for hay this year hasn't got watered yet, so nothing's sprouting. Whatever, that's all I could say about that. I'm praying for rain on my little lot here. And hey, if it keeps going this way, my well may run out of water yet, because I haven't put in a deeper well. Couldn't afford one, so I haven't done that. My water is still very low. My well is still very low on water. I have a backup tank that I fill slowly. You know, it's gallons. How many gallons per minute I'm getting is very low. So if I use too much, it kicks over to my backup tank. Yeah, that's where I'm at. So if we don't get rain this winter either, because we had minimal rain last winter, barely enough to get half a crop of hay. But hey, that was better. At least I could feed my animals. Anyway, getting off the topic there to the weather, but was getting to temporal judgments. And we will have temporal judgments. And always have had temporal judgments. So it's all up to the Almighty. Yeah, let me check the chat room, see what's going on there, comments or question. Let's see, does anyone know the name of that song played during the break? I tried to find it on the internet to no avail. Well, if you email me, I'll send it to you. Later on, I'll look it up, see which one it was, and send it to you. Okay, Anonymous is calling in on my phone. Let's see if they'll say anything. Your name and where you're calling from, Anonymous. You're on the air. Yeah, I guess if it says Anonymous, I just shouldn't answer it, because it actually says Anonymous. Yeah, well, okay, well, I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're back this week, too. So, I mean, I don't know how glad I am about it, that, but, yeah. Anyway, I was looking at, does anyone know, the name of that song that's playing during the break? I'll give you a clue. It was by a band called Harvest. Yeah. If you look them up, you'll find their music. which I've enjoyed greatly over the years. And that's why I love to play it on the air. Okay, so I'm getting tired of these passwords. I have no idea. This is the wrong place to complain about passwords, guy, but I use my hand and it's always on my mind. Okay, don't know where you're going there, but okay, that song I want to find, the one that's playing now. Yeah. All right, we'll catch you later, Blackbird. She said she's leaving. Yes. Okay, let's see what else. Shadow caller on the queue. It's the DNC calling. They want to know how many votes did you cast last year. Well, you know, from what I heard, all my dead relatives voted for Joe Biden. I'm very disappointed. That's what I heard anyway, yeah. Yes, all my dead relatives are voting. I'm still looking for them because I think they may be like you. They're not really dead. They're just hiding on me. Yeah, there we go. Okay. And I guess not anyone else. No one else has really much to say in the chat room. Anyway, thank you all for showing up. WW showed up, and we talked about what you said I should write a book about last week. WW, that's what we've been talking about. We've been looking at, let's see. Ooh, that's not good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been talking about Luke, Proverbs chapter 1 and Luke 22:25, and the kings of the nations or Gentiles exercise lordship over them, the people of those nations, and they exercise authority upon them, and they're called benefactors because they redistribute the wealth that they, and they steal that money now, you know, since the Antichrist and his federal shadow government got their Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. They've been stealing the wealth of America and redistributing it throughout the world and through their operations in Washington, D.C., the central government in the New World. They have stolen the wealth of America and redistribute it to countries where they have totalitarian control. Wherever they have totalitarian control, that's where the Antichrist and his shadow government are more deeply entrenched than anywhere else. So look for it. Yeah, wherever, and that's the truth, wherever you have totalitarian government, for instance, in communist, in China, yeah, the CCP is a shadow government for the Antichrist stronghold. Yeah, some people just call the shadow government is, well, really the operators, the higher hierarchy of the shadow government is run by the Jesuits. And many of the people that they control don't even know who they are or who they're being controlled by. But as you move up toward the top, you'll find the Antichrist and his shadow government are in the top echelons, ruling in all of the nations of the world. And I'm pretty sure that eventually I'll be banned everywhere for saying this. I'm pretty sure that come 2030 that the Inquisitions are going to be on full. I mean, they're starting now. What you're seeing are Inquisitions and what they call cancel culture. That's because they've run an Inquisition on you. They've inquired into your doings and your beliefs and what you like and who you follow and what you say. Okay? And they've inquired and they've decided to cancel you. And that's how they're running this game. That's how you are going to be banned to begin with. And once they get to the tipping point, okay, the tipping point is where, and I think we're at the tipping point now, basically, really, because here's how it works, okay? Right now in America, okay, there's no law. that requires me to participate in socialism. So I don't have to sign up for it. And I can withdraw my consent, which I have done, and have decided, no, I don't like that contract because it reeks. It stinks of violating God's law, okay, on covetousness and everything that we've been covering today. What Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. And what the Proverbs, the author of the Proverbs says, refrain your foot from their path. You know, consent thou not. Okay. I consent not. I am one of the thou that consents not any longer. And I stopped consenting 25 years ago. And it's been a journey, and I've been withdrawing my consent to this very day. Okay. Most of my consent was drawn by 20 years ago. But there are little snares and snags all along the way. You have to withdraw from everything that's connected with it. Okay? If they won't give you something, it's like I couldn't get a passport in 1995 or whatever it was. I got a passport and without the number, okay? Because I withdrew my consent. So I thought, well, I need some ID that's not connected with it. And they gave me a passport. And I still have that passport today. Of course, it's expired. And they won't give me a new one because I'm not a member of the Socialist Security Club. I'm not a card-carrying member. Okay? And I can't get a driver's license because I'm not a card-carrying member. Now, there's no law that requires me to participate. There's no law that requires me to sign up and be a socialist, because it's a free country, is it not? Though it's becoming less free, now they're actually stripping rights, immunities, and privileges of actually being a constitutional American citizen, okay? They're stripping those from me now. Yeah. They're turning all those things into that you have to enter into a private contract to get them. You can't have those things, just your right to travel. I can't get on an airplane, so I have the right to travel. I can walk anywhere I want, they say. But you just can't get on a commercial airline. I guess I could if I was rich. I guess I could get on a jet plane and pay for a private jet plane, I guess. I don't know. So I can walk anywhere I want, I guess. Yeah, because you. So, but they're stripping me of privileges and immunities and rights that I should have under the Constitution. So that had watched that happen incrementally over the last 25 years, because 25 years ago when I started this journey, I didn't need a socialist number to get a driver's license, though I didn't really need a driver's license because I'm not a driver. But they just keep tightening in the reins on me. So I think everyone should stop consenting. But it won't do any good. They don't need your money. You know, so I'm not in an anti-tax movement. They can print all the money they want. So I don't even know why they bother with collecting taxes and having people fill out 1040 forms, inquisition forms every year, except to control them. Because the reason they need to control them is because they signed up and said, I need a benefactor. I'm incompetent to take care of myself when I get old. That's basically the contract you signed, because that's what you signed up for, benefits. You said, well, I'll give up my rights for these benefits, and that's the contract. And like I said, anytime you sign anything, you're signing up your rights. If it's not for, see, because I don't have to sign up for the law of God. If I murder, I will be punished, if not by man, by God. Okay? If I steal, well, I might be punished, depends on, you know, whether I'm stealing legally by the law of man or not. But certainly God will punish me for my covetousness, or I will suffer the consequences even if I repent. I will suffer consequences for my sin. Though in the end, if I repent and join the elect of God, you know, if I'm called and numbered among the elect, then all of that will be laid aside. I will be washed totally clean and enter into eternal life with Christ when this mortality comes to its end. So we all have to obey God. I can't tell everyone what to do or what they have to do. And I'm not sure about, I can't say anyone's going to go to hell because they've signed, that somebody signed them up for Social Security and they're still participating. And I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is I felt God called me to do it because there's no commandment says that, thou shalt not participate in Social Security. So, everyone has to walk according to their own conscience. Anyway, let's see. Who's calling me? Anonymous is calling back. I guess I have to take a chance. Your name and where you're calling from. Yeah. Okay. Well, I know the phone works, thanks to, Fireman Mike from Ohio. Got it right that time, didn't I? Fireman Mike from Ohio. Yeah. Alfred Adass would say, I do not accept your offer, and I do not agree with these proceedings. I loved Alfred Adass. I guess he's still alive and well, hopefully, somewhere in Texas, but he's withdrawn from public life, apparently. Yeah, he said, what can't be paid won't be paid. That's one of his sayings, too. He was speaking about the debt, of course. We enjoyed him for many years on financial survival. Yeah, saying this when socialist policy is offered, I do not accept your offer, and I do not agree to these proceedings. Yeah, people are out there going, thinking that it's A-okay to get the stimulus checks. I didn't get no stimulus checks. If you don't use and have and participate in socialism and you're not a card-carrying socialist, guess what? They don't send you checks. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the nefarious shadow caller once again calls it. Well, this guy must really be under some heavy conviction or something. Because he has to call in and interrupt my show. It's not going to change a thing, though. I'm still here speaking the truth and saying, please, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Cross the border. That's why I call my ministry Cross the Border. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. In other words, repent. The kingdom is at hand. That's the gospel that Jesus preached. That's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus preached. Repent means change your mind. Change your mind about the things that you're doing that are violating the law of God. That if you change your mind and you say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to obey God because that's the best thing for my life. That's called a change of mind. And some people just loved doing their evil. And they simply do not want to change their mind. That's why they hate repentance. But God's people love repentance. We embrace it. We walk in repentance. That's the narrow way that leads to life, the repentance road. If you could put a street sign on the narrow way that leads to life, it would say repentance road. Repentance way. The narrow way that leads to eternal life. If you didn't get a check, sign up one. WW. Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't get sign one up for one at irs.gov. Yeah. I'm sure I think you can sign up online for that, but see, they already have your signature on their documents and all you're going to do is verify it. Because that's what the whole mark system for is, to identify you as one of theirs. All I can say is withdraw. I would be afraid right now. I would, by the fear of God, I would stop participating completely. I would put off everything with the numbering system of the beast. Because it's a worldwide numbering system. Yeah, their money printing debt scheme is the biggest fraud ever conceived. I don't know. Yeah, this is pretty big, man. That's the truth, man. Oh, here we come to another break. And you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. I have to say both because I might be banned from WordPress someday. Likely to happen. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. We're not done yet.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And thank you for that, Antiquity. He says, time to go entirely self-hosted. Well, you have to at least buy server space from somebody. And I do have my own server for First Amendment Radio. And the only thing is I don't have the savvy and not up to date on, I mean, go look at the firstamendmentradio.com or .net homepage, and you can see that it's, you know, very old as far as web spaces go. And it cost me, if I had to pay someone to take care of it and to update it, then it would cost me several thousand dollars just to do that. But I am on WordPress with nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. I use crosstheborder.org and it points to that page. But if they kick me off, well, I'll just host crosstheborder.org on my own server if that time comes. It's just it's much easier to do a web, WordPress site because it's all set up. I just don't know how to do that on my own server yet. I've tried and I failed. And I'm so busy that sometimes when I try and fail at something, I have to let it go because I still have my regular jobs to do, you know, like growing hay, taking care of my son, taking care of my ranch, and running First Amendment Radio and crosstheborder.org, plus the various, books that I'm writing and all the studying that I do. I have more than enough to keep me busy. I could work, you know, 24 hours a day. There's so much work to do. I just don't know how people can have nothing to do. Not if you're living in God's kingdom. If you're living in God's kingdom, you're obeying Him. There's no end to the work that we can do in His kingdom. Though I'm sure He doesn't want us to work ourselves to death. But I've read about some who have worked themselves to death, basically. They've poured out their lives literally and physically for the gospel. Some in history have done that. But I try to take a little time. I have grandchildren around me and stuff, and I try to take time with them and for family, and try to enjoy life as whatever enough enjoyment to at least keep my sanity, you know. But there's a lot to do, and if I were two people, I could keep busy with all that I have to do. Yeah. So if you have nothing to do and you don't know how to keep busy, come on over. I'll put you to work, man. You know, especially if you're already self-supporting like I am, basically. You know, I don't make much off of all these things here that I'm doing. Just barely enough to get by on. I'm not huge. I'm not big. And I thank God for that, because God has a lot of people. He doesn't need me to do everything or me to even take on a load of, you know, millions of administering and ministering to millions of people. He doesn't need me to do that. If I can minister to hundreds, I'm happy with that, you know, because there are literally millions of other Christians out there right now that should have their tens or hundreds that they're ministering to as the Lord calls them. God doesn't need his people to, you know, to minister to millions and become worldwide famous. Because usually when that happens, people become corrupted. There are very few people who can, you know, in the flesh, sons of Adam, that, you know, that can take that type of, temptations that come along with that. Because, you know, the deceitfulness of riches is talked about in the scripture. And it's a thing, man. You know, otherwise, why would it be in the scripture? With riches comes, deceitfulness. So very few people could handle that kind of riches. And I can't say that I could stand up to that without the power of God. And I wouldn't want it unless I could stand up against it. And besides, why would I need it? I don't need that much attention. I'm very happy to be ministering to hundreds weekly. Yeah, I'm very happy with that. I thank God for it. If you can minister to 10 people a week, 10 people a month, in a year, if you could disciple 10 people a year in the gospel, then you're going to be great in God's kingdom. Because most people won't even do that. You know, and that's what we're doing. That's where the greatest investment that you have in God's kingdom is in investing in people, giving your time, your property, your money, your labor into God's kingdom, and investing that beyond the grave. That's what Jesus calls us to invest. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where are you investing your time, your money, your labor, your life? You know, I reach a few hundred people a week. I'm happy with that. And it takes a lot of my time to do that. Probably at least half the time that I live to do that. The other half, I have some relaxation, and spend time with family or just enjoying the animals or riding my bicycle, you know, keeping my sanity, not working myself to death, because I want to be healthy for the next 40 years until Jesus comes or until I get martyred or whatever the end of this mortality holds for me, you know, in the hand of God, whatever's in his hand for me. And I'm up for any of it. Yeah, you know, whatever he wants. He hasn't told me yet, but I'm prepared for any of it. Yeah. And you should be too. We should all be. Because that's what we're doing as God's elect. We're working for him. He's our boss. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's our friend. Yeah. He's all of those things to us. And he's God Almighty. Yeah. And we should fear what would happen to us if we don't follow him. If we fall under his wrath. will at least suffer the consequences of our disobedience. So we don't want to be disobedient. And why? Because we love him. If we don't love him, then we don't care. You're just out there in the world, unregenerate, just, you know, like going crazy, like some of those people out there going, like all the crazies out there. You know, you can see them in the high places in government in America. These people are insane. They have gone mad. But they have the reins of the government. And then they have most of the people, or at least half of the people on the earth, are following them in their insanity. Need we wonder? We talk about prophecy. We talk about America's place in prophecy and how America is a divided nation. One side lamb-like, the other dragon speaking. And boy, do they speak. That's all they do. They just speak and speak and deceive and deceive and are deceived. Yeah. A little time that remains as, yeah, I think after 2030, because that's why they push this thing. They set their date for 2030 in the image of the beast. They have their 2030 agenda. That is, the United Nations is the image of the beast. It is a Roman-style government over the whole world. It is the New World Order, okay? It's not the Old World Order. That one failed after 1,260 years. God put an end to it. It failed. Then after that, the gospel went all over the world, as prophesied by the scriptures. The missionary centuries, the 19th and 20th centuries were the missionary centuries. The gospel went to every corner of the earth, foretold in the scripture. Okay? At the same time, three spirits like frogs going over the whole earth to gather those things together that are opposed to God for the great day of God Almighty. You hear them croaking? That's all they do is croak. They don't make any sense unless you believe in evil. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they don't care. And now they're getting to the point where they do it openly, and if you call them out on it, they're gonna cancel you. Now, see, that's the mark of the beast. If you don't have it, if you don't go along, you're going to be canceled one way or another. Cancel culture is mark of the beast culture. It is mark of the beast inquisition culture. That's what it is. And this is day 307 on the, what do we call it? The march to the mark, the panic march to the mark of the beast. This is not, see, they introduced a panic to the world because they were panicking. They're saying, we're not going to make it in time. We've only got 10 years. We got to get this world in line for the mark of the beast totalitarian one world monetary system. And when they get there, see, it's easy to believe now when you see what's going on. What they're doing now is just a foretaste of what's coming in 2030. They ain't just going to ban you. They're going to ban you from the place of the earth. They're going to extirpate your life. That's what they did in history. And that's what they're going to do in the future. The scripture tells us. You know, it was hard to believe 20 years ago, 10 years ago. It was hard to believe that they would go around and do what they did in the past. You know, when the Antichrist had his 1,260 year reign in Western Europe, when he went around extirpating true Bible believers and anything opposed to his miracles of transubstantiation and other miracles that they were selling to the world, their salvation by works doctrine, their purgatory doctrine, their in doctrine of infallibility. Didn't go along with it, they would extirpate you, your family, your community, your nation. And that's what they did for 1260 years. Hundreds of millions were murdered by those monsters. Well, those monsters are still here in spirit. They took a blow. But believe me, they're coming back with a vengeance. But it's all right because their time is limited. Yeah, their time is limited. Jesus is coming back. He's going to catch them in the middle of their murderous mayhem. And he's going to put an end to it. And them. That's right. And he's going to set up his rule on the earth. You can read all about it in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. Yeah, this is it right here. Get a copy. Yeah, the scripture says we will be beheaded. You know, I'm first. Yeah. I'm okay with it, Father. I'll go first. Seriously. If they're going to do it, I mean, I can't see getting guns or any. What am I going to fight for? My mortal existence? You know? I mean, if the Chinese invade, hey, I'll be there. You know, I'm an old man, but I'll defend my neighborhood, my family, and my neighbors. You know, if someone invades America, I'm up for it. And that's why we have to stay armed for our liberty. That's the first thing. See, that's why they put out the word that stand down for conservatives, patriots, Christians, Trump supporters is to stand down because they want a reason. They'll set it up. Okay. They did a bad job on this last one because they shot some innocent woman. Yeah. Well, if you shot that innocent woman for breaking the window, to come into your house, if you shot someone in the daylight breaking into your house, you would go to prison, at least for manslaughter. Yeah, for first degree manslaughter, at least, because you had an alternative. You could have done something else because your life was not being threatened. So. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you press the follow button there. If you want to support the work we're doing here, click on the support button and, you'll see it's a support far there in the chat page, or it says you can press the support button on the First Amendment Radio homepage. And the support button, believe that, opens up another tab. And if you really want to support us, the best way to support us is to click on this link that says preferred to avoid PayPal fees and control. Support via postal mail, click here. So you can support us by clicking on there, and you'll see that comes up and opens up into an Adobe, and you can print that out, send us a check, and this is how you're supposed to fill out your check here, okay? Although the amount is whatever you want to give. I know you'll want to give more, you know, instead of, you know, 4 zeros, you want to put 5, 6, or 7. Or perhaps, you know, 3, I don't know, but $100 is 4 zeros, okay? But this is how you do it. And there's a mailing labels down here. Print this out, and you can cut off these mailing labels and tape them on the envelope, okay? And you can give. See, we have numbers 1 through 12. So you start here with number 1. And that'll last you 12 months, and then you can print out another one. That's how you should be giving to us to avoid by money orders, but don't make them out to Nicholas Arthur or First Amendment Radio, because like I said, I have a treasurer and there's a trust set up here for our finances here, because I can't cash a check in my name, remember? They've taken those privileges away from me and stripped them. And eventually maybe this account will go away, but we'll find some workaround. If they take me off the internet, who cares anyway, right? I'll be out there on the street preaching. That's what I'll be doing if they take me off the internet, or whatever, or people be coming to me. However God wants to work that out. That's his plan, and he'll reveal that to me when the day comes. So anyway, make sure you do that, okay? So click on that. Click on the support button. This page will come up, especially if you're giving large amounts monthly, because PayPal's eventually going to kill us, you know, and because they did it once before, And they stopped her account, and they don't let you draw your money out or spend it. So I had to, when they did it before, I just refunded everyone's money until there was no money in the account. They allow you to do that if they stop your account. So I have that experience in the past. That's why I say do this. Now, Bitcoin, I got a Bitcoin wallet. Nobody's given yet, and it has no money in it. So not excited about that. That's not going to help me when the proverbial stuff hits the fan. And yeah, you get the idea anyway, because it's out of our hands. So anyway, we're running out of time here, coming to the end of the broadcast. So let me check the chat room anyway. Excuse me. Let me get a sip here. Check the chat room here and see if anyone else has anything. It says, I have a 1,000 zeros, but no ones. Thank you for that, guy. That means you're giving all you can, right? Yeah. Send your fiat currency, people. See, send your ephemeral digital pulses. Yeah. You can also send us gold and silver. That'll help us when times really get tough. I don't have a lot of gold. I got a few gold coins. I do have more silver than gold, because I think I might need that after the time comes, just to eat and provide for my family. So make sure you got plenty of beans and rice and boxes of mac and cheese and, you know, whatever you can keep that won't spoil. And that'll be good, you know, 5 years from now. At least you should have at least 3 months worth of food. Something that you could spread out to 6 months if you really had to. So that's why I say beans and rice. That's God's storage food there. Because that stuff stores. I planted seed that was 10, 12 years old. And I have to say at least half of it sprouted and grew. So, yeah. So I know that the seeds will last a long time. That's compacted food. You can sprout it, eat it, and you can grow it too. So make sure you got plenty of seeds. Grow a garden this year. Spring is coming up. You can plant your winter garden right now, your early spring vegetables. If you're like in where I'm at, depending on the frost thing, depending on when your last frost date is, you can plant a few weeks before that if you're willing to cover your stuff up. But grow a garden this year. Yeah, you might need it. You never know. And it's always fun, too. It's always a fun thing. You know, I grow lots of zucchini and eat that. Me and my son and my grandchildren eat a lot of zucchini. My daughter doesn't care for it much. But I make zoodles out of it. You know, I got a zoodle maker, one of those things makes the zoodle that strips your zucchini down into noodle-like cuts. And that's fun. Learn which wild plants are good to eat in your part of the world also. Yeah, do that. Especially if you live in a green belt. I do not. I live in a desert belt. It's not a whole lot here. I know about some of those plants. Well, whatever plants are growing out here, I know which ones that of the native plants are edible in my area and which are not. Though I don't eat them, I would. And like when my friend here, Michael, who is probably listening but not live, probably listening on our Prophecy Reality News app. He was eating some of the stuff that grows around here in his salad. Yeah, because it's good stuff. So yeah, good advice there, WW. All right, well, I'm just about out of time. So I'm going to have to bid you all goodbye. Like I said, go to my website, crosstheborder.org. This program will be posted there now. You can share it, but it'll be posted later too, after I post the video on several other venues like BitChute and YouTube We'll be posting it again later, so make sure you share that one with everybody, all your friends, everyone on your mail list, okay? share that with, this broadcast with, or any of the posts. We got a lot, I have a lot of good posts on my website, by the grace of God. So, feel free to share them and get people coming here. And, we may be shadow banned, but, they can't ban you from sharing, posts on my website with your mail list. So please do that. Don't really care much about all these other places, but well, here comes the end of the broadcast anyway. So may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.